morning. And you'll be amazed at the people who will get up at 4 o'clock and come to a 6 o'clock Bible study. Rightly dividers will, and it's growing. If you know of anybody there or around Huntsville area that would like to attend the Bible study, we'd be glad to have them. And if they don't like my Bible study, Jack's got one right down the road from me. And so his classes are like Sundays and Wednesdays, and so we just about got one every day of the week between me and Jack. And so if you know anybody in that area that would like to come to a Bible study or class, we'd be happy to have them. My sister called me right before I left, and she told me a joke. I thought I'd tell it to you. So this man, he was going to burglarize his house, and so he snuck into the house. He got into the house, and he had his flashlight, and he went turning on the light, looking around and stuff. And as he was looking around, a voice came and says, "Jesus is watching you." And he thought, "What?" And so he said, "Who is that? Who is that?" Nobody answered. He thought, that's weird. And so he started looking around again. He's kind of curious, He thought somebody watching him. The voice came out again and said, "Jesus is watching you." He said, "What in the world?" And so he got his flashlight up and looking around, and he seen a parrot on a stand. And he asked that parrot, he said, "Did you say that?" And that parrot said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Is your name Jesus?" And the parrot said, "No." He said, "Well, what's your name?" He said, "Moses." And so the thief said, "What kind of people would name a parrot Moses?" And that parrot said, "The same kind of people that would name a pit bull terrier Jesus." Oh, I thought that was pretty funny. Look with me, please, in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now, I'm not going to really turn there, but you turn there. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, I believe it is, it said, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." Now, I want you to think about fullness. That's what I want to talk to you today, about the fullness here. And if you think about fullness, I think about it like you got a glass of water. And you fill that glass up to the very top, and if you was to put one more drop in it, it'd run over. And the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. And so I want you to look at the fullness here. There are several fullness in the Bible. But the fullness that He sent of His Son, I believe, started back in Nehemiah chapter 2. And if you want to start there, you can, or you want to look there, you can. But back in Nehemiah over here, Nehemiah is serving the king, and he's in captivity. And when he's serving the king in Nehemiah chapter 2, he's serving him wine. And he's very sad. And the king says, "Your countenance is down. How come you're so sad?" And Nehemiah said, "Because of my father's city. It lieth waste to the ground." And this was in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, and it was in a month of Nisan. And so I know that when he says in Daniel chapter 9, you turn there, look in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, look in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So I know that there are 70 years that is prophesied upon Israel. There are no more, but there are 70 years. And so what I want to talk to you about is the fullness over here and the fullness of the prophecy of Daniel over here and how that you can tell, just as they could tell, when the fullness was up. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, in the month of Nisan, and listen, that's very important about the Nisan there, because Nehemiah was sad. And the king said, "Why are you so sad?" He said, "Because the city of my fathers lie waste." And so he asked him to rebuild the city. Now, the reason that Nehemiah was sad is because in the month of Nisan is when they had the Passover. Nisan is the first month of the year. The Passover was on the first month, the 10th day of the month over there, and it went to the 14th over there, and then they had the Passover, and the Passover was at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And so he was sad because he couldn't partake of the Passover. So I know the time period when Nehemiah over here got the order to build and to restore Jerusalem. And it was on a Passover. Are you listening to me? It was on like the first month, the 10th day of the month, and it was the Passover when he got, in the very day. Ain't that amazing? You can understand the very day in which Nehemiah got the order to build and restore Jerusalem. Look what he says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem." Well, I got that. I got that in Nehemiah chapter 2 over here, and I got the month. And it don't give the day, but I'd be willing to bet that it was the 10th. And it was the day of the Passover. He said, verse 24, "Now know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times." Well, he said it would be 62, which would be 62. And he said, and verse 22, and or whatever, verse 25, "and shall be 7 weeks." So I got 7 and 22, which is 69 weeks. And so I believe that 69 weeks was fulfilled from Nehemiah chapter 2 until this point right here. 69 weeks. And that's a week of years. It ends up being 483 years. I'm just going to make it short for you. And so there's 7 years left, or 1 week, because they had 70 weeks. And so that has to do with the 1 week that's left over here. The 7 year of tribulation. Now, in between that, we know the mystery. Now, let me make the mystery easy for you. I'm going to show you what the mystery is really easy. You still have Galatians 4? Look in Galatians chapter 1. I can spell it out for you. Just really, really simple. It's amazing how simple this book is, isn't it? In Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 4. "Whom gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world." There's your mystery. He gave himself for our sins that he might what? Deliver us from this present evil world. A rapture. There ain't another gospel for us. That is the gospel. That is the mystery. That we're going to be delivered from this present evil world. These people down here had no promise that they'd be delivered from this present evil world. And so when they look back in time, they look back and they knew that there's going to come a time and the fullness is going to come. And these people knew that time because they studied their Bible. And they knew there's going to be 483 years. And they knew it was going to be from over here. And Nehemiah over here, and it was going to come in the month of Nisan. And so you'll have Jesus Christ as born. And when Jesus Christ is born, he's born in 3 B.C. Jesus Christ started his ministry in A.D. 27. The Bible says supposing to be about 30 years old. And so I know if I read my Bible and I look at the gospel, I know that Jesus Christ was and had his ministry and taught for 3.5 years. Now, the reason I know that is because there are 3 Passovers in between this and the cross. In between the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry, and the Bible says that all priests in the book of Leviticus start their ministry at the age of 30 years old. And so he started his ministry being a priest, a prophet, and a king at the age of 30 years old. And so this started in A.D. 27 over here. And so if he did that for 3 years, 3 Passovers, he'd end up being A.D. 30 over here. Now that's important too. I'm going to use that in a few minutes. A.D. 30, when he died, being 33.5 years old. Now, if I read and I will study my Bible, and if you want to go back and find the years and how you can find this out the way they did, there's a book called The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson, and he'll just lay it all out for you. He'll lay out all the details and stuff. If you want to do that, just get his book, and you sit down with it, and he'll show you how you can count those 483 years. But there's 483 years that had to be fulfilled. And in Galatians chapter 4 verse 4, is that where I started out? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in the fullness of the time. There was a fullness that was here that Jesus Christ had to fulfill, and it couldn't happen until the fullness of time. In other words, these years of Daniel chapter 9 had to be fulfilled, and there were people that counted those years and knew those years, and when Jesus Christ came, they knew the very time that he would come. And if I look in Luke chapter 19, look in Luke chapter 19. Now Jesus Christ is coming into Jerusalem for the Passover on the first month, the 10th day of the month, exactly 483 years he's coming into Jerusalem on the exact day. And there was people that knew that. And in Luke chapter 19, look at verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belongeth unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus Christ wept when he came into the city on the 483rd year since Nehemiah. The time had been fulfilled, and Jesus Christ wept when he came into the city because they didn't know the time of his visitation. And you know, he said it's going to be destroyed. The city is going to be destroyed because you don't know this time. And if they couldn't have known the time, Jesus Christ would have been wrong to destroy the city, would he not? But they could have known the time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And you'll find this is finished in John chapter 17. And John chapter 17, he said, it is finished. And he explains to you the work that he had on this earth, how he had to train those men, and he said, it is finished. At that point and time, he had fulfilled Scripture. Now, something I want you to think about. Whenever Jesus Christ started his ministry, Jesus Christ was a prophet. If you read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, Moses said, there's going to come one unto you likening unto me, hear you him. There's going to come a prophet, and that prophet has in front of the prophet. In other words, he's a prophet. Well, Jesus Christ, and people don't get this. Jesus Christ made prophecy that's not back in the Old Testament. When he prophesied, some of the things he prophesied happened after he died. And it lingers on over into the book of Revelation. The prophecy. And in other words, he's a prophet. And he brings in brand new prophets. prophecy. And he even says, I think it's in Matthew chapter 13, he said to his 12, he said, behold, it's made known unto you the mysteries. He had a mystery for the 12. He was a prophet, and some of the things he prophesied happened after he died. And that part that we just got through reading over here, how that he said that this city is going to be laid waste and there will be a stone left upon a stone, is part of his prophecy, which he prophesied while he was here on earth. And it did come true in A.D. 70. That's kind of funny. Back here in Moses' day, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, didn't they? If he died over here for 30, and in A.D. 70 over here, Titus and the Roman army came and destroyed Jerusalem, that's 40 years. You know that? Just that one generation went away, that generation went away that Jesus Christ prophesied to. And you know, when I look at this thing, when you look at what happened, it's a prophecy of Deuteronomy. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Watch this in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Steve, I don't know when I started. In Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 1. He says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall be thy cities, and blessed shall be in the fields. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the children, and of the fruit of the ground. And he tells them all the blessings that they'll have if they'll keep his commandments. Come down to verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes which I've commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall be the city, and cursed shall be the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and of the fruit of thy land. In other words, if you do what I say, then your fruit of your body is going to be blessed. But if you don't do what I say, the fruit of your body is going to be cursed. Come down to verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of this earth. Come down to verse 35. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and thou shalt thou serve other gods, stone and wood. Come down to verse 47. I like this one. Because thou servest not the Lord God, I like this, with joyfulness and gladness of the heart. It ain't that they didn't serve him. They didn't do it with joyfulness and gladness of the heart. There's plenty of people trying to serve the Lord right now, but if not with gladness, is it? And joyfulness of the heart. You can see them, they're just doing it, you know. They're just faking it. Look in verse 52. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God has given thee. And thou shalt eat, now watch, the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God has given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you, very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, and towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherein thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which will not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicacy and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil towards the husband of her bosom, and towards her son, and towards her daughter, and towards her young one that cometh out from before her feet, and towards her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want, and all things secretly in the siege. In other words, the women are going to eat their own children, the men are going to eat their own children, and they're going to be selfish with their children if they don't obey God and do what they're supposed to do. Listen, Jesus Christ, when he rode that colt, the foal of an ass, into that city, and when he came off of Mount Olives, which is Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, there was a fulfillment there, and something was full, and time was full, and it was the right time for that, and they should have known that, and they should have read their Bibles and known that, but they didn't know it, and Jesus Christ wept when he seen the city. You know why? Because he knew that this was going to happen. He knew that the siege was going to be there. Jesus Christ prophesied over here in Luke chapter 19 when he went into the temple in Luke chapter 19, and when he came out of the temple in Luke chapter 21, he prophesied of this happening. Look in Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, make it Luke. It should be 21. Yeah, Luke 21. I had an outline of all this and I lost it. So I'm just going by memory. Luke 21. Look at verse 19. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then knoweth the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea, now watch, flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written shall be fulfilled. And we read it back there in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And he said, these be the days of vengeance. Look in verse 22. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And it has to do with Israel. And you know, when he says over here, he says, woe unto them that be with child, and give suck to children. It just brings to my mind when Jesus Christ is carrying that cross. Jesus Christ is carrying a cross after he was beat all night long. And he's carrying a cross. And he's dragging that cross. And there's some women on the side over there that is bewailing him and crying and screaming and stuff. And he stops in the middle of all that. And he looks at them and he says, don't cry for me. There's something coming a whole lot worse for you. And you know what he's talking about? Luke chapter 21 right here. He knows out here that's coming to be. He prophesied of it, and he knows it's coming upon them. He knows they're going to eat their own children. And he warned them of all this. And he cried when he came into the city. Titus and the Roman army in AD 70 built a trench around it, like he says right here. And he couldn't get to the people in the city because the walls of Jerusalem, you could race 8 chariots side by side on top of the wall. Ain't no way he could get through that. Alexander the Great couldn't get through it, and finally he dried up the water system and went underneath the wall and conquered it. And so these people at Jerusalem, they knew that they couldn't get into the city, but Titus starved them out. And you know what they did? They ate their own children. Look what he says in verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Do you see that? So I know that this is destruction over here, and until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In Revelation chapter 10 over here, there's an angel over here. And this angel is standing up on 1 foot upon the sea and 1 foot upon the land. And he puts his hands towards heaven and he says, time shall be no more. And over Jerusalem will be trotted down until that time. It ain't time ain't going to be no more, because I know there's a lot more time going on after that. It's just God ain't going to tolerate it no more. And God is going to let loose his angels and the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So I know that that's going to happen, and this is that Jerusalem will be trotted down until that time be full. So I've got another fullness of a time, haven't I? Until that time be fulfilled, these things are going to go on. But he says here that now there won't be a stone left upon top of a stone. You know, Jesus Christ said these be the days of vengeance, and he said, when you see it, when you see these armies come past the city, you know what he told them to do? He said, run, flee. Don't let anybody come into the city. You know what they done? They KD barred the door. That's what they done. They put all the bars on the door and they locked themselves in. They set their own destiny. There's another fullness coming. And that fullness is in Romans chapter 11. Look in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. And when he says that, there are. Most people are ignorant of this mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's another fullness right there. That fullness has to do with us. In other words, there's a time period we live in right now that God has got a clock up here. And his clock is, say, that's 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And this clock over here is pointing towards 12 and 11. But for Israel, it's stopped. There's been a pause in the program. It's a time period that we live in, a time period of grace right here. Now, I know that this clock is not going to start back until this day over here. And the day of the rapture, when this comes, clock starts ticking again. There's going to be 7 years. There's going to be 1,260 days. There's going to be 40 in 2 months, and 40 in 2 months. There's going to be time, times, and times and a half. Twice. I know that. And if I could know the day of the rapture, I could tell you the very day Jesus Christ would come back, second coming, and there'll be people who know that. They'll know that by counting like you can count. But right now, we live during this time period over here. And when the fullness or the Gentiles be come in, or the fullness of the, what does it say over here in verse 11, verse 25? The fullness of the Gentiles be come in, it's when the last person gets saved in the body of Christ. And let me tell you something. There are people getting saved every day, and there are men working real hard for them to get saved and for them to see the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, over here he said it is finished. You know, the fullness of time was finished. But then he said in John chapter 19, it is finished. The work for your salvation was after that. That last week of Jesus Christ's life was for your salvation. His death was for you. And so Jesus Christ gave us a means to be saved during this time period. And if you reject that, that's just like you doing the same thing they did. You just Katie barred the door. Because once the rapture happens, you don't have a chance. There ain't going to be another chance. And I can see it right now in my mind's eye how that God Almighty is saying, I'm fixing to destroy it all. And Jesus Christ saying, wait, wait, just a few more. It could be just one more. But the fullness of time, when that last person is saved, we're out of here. And if you're not in that, the wrath of God is going to fall upon you. Like Spurgeon said, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Let me show you something. Look in Job chapter 30. Job, and I'll try to close out here. Because I have no idea where I'm at in time. In Job chapter 30, look at verse 23. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death unto the house appointed for all living. Verse 24. Howbeit, he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction. This is you if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the rapture happens, he'll never stretch his hand to you. And you're going to this place, which in all living goes, and you're going to be without God for eternity. Look what he says in verse 25. But not I weep for him that was in trouble. Was not my soul grieved for the poor? Look at his works. Works good, ain't he? This guy's a good guy, ain't he? Look in verse 26. When I looked for good, then evil came upon me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of my affliction prevented me. You know what it's going to be like in hell? Put on some taters when you get home and get them boiling. That's how your bowels is going to be. Your bowels are going to be boiling in hell. It's just going to be just boiling in hell. And you're going to be in hell and it's going to be darkness. And you're going to be crying out. And there ain't going to be nobody to listen to you. And ain't going to be nothing but darkness. And it's going to prevail over you. But that's forever. That's for eternity. Look what he says in verse 28. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. You witnessed everybody, didn't you? How good you are and what you did. Good guy. I helped the poor. I did all these things. I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. My skin is black upon me and my bones are burned with heat. This is a man in hell. His guts is boiling inside of him. His skin is black and his bones is burning. That's going to be you if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you something. I guarantee there's somebody lost out here right now. And that person is lost. Let me tell you, let me see if I can shake your foundation. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, did you ever, are you listening to me, ever after that ask Him to forgive you? When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, after you trust Him as your Lord and Savior, did you ever, ever ask Him to forgive you? If you did, you are lost, and this is a picture of you in hell right now. Or not right now, when it comes. That's what I asked my sister. I said, did you ever ask? She said, yeah. And I said, well, I mean, look here. If I said, here's a eraser, this marker here, and I gave it to you, and you took it, and you believed you had it, would you ask me for it again? If you believe you had this marker, would you ask me for this marker? If you didn't believe you had it, you'd ask me for it, wouldn't you? If you've ever asked for forgiveness, you didn't believe you got it. And you're lost, doomed, and going to hell. And you know what I'd do about you? Right there, I would trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I wouldn't take a chance on the time being fulfilled. That guy right beside you might get saved, and you burn in eternity for hell. Don't play with this. There's going to be men up here preach to you about the gospel. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't trust what you're doing. Trust Him. Leave it up to Him. I'm saying trust Him. Not your works. But there's going to come a time when the fullness of the Gentiles come, and that's going to be it. God, I wish it was today.